He was like his old self. He hardly looked at her on the drive, even when they stalled for more than 5 minutes in one spot. At the hotel he was excessively polite. When he behaved this way, she liked him even less. They all had to pretend this pose was courtesy, graciousness. It reminded her of a dog in clothes. To hell with him. If her husband didn't have to work with him, she would prefer not to see him again. He pulled her pack out of the rear and was about to carry it into the lobby. Here, I can take that. Her shirt was damp at the back when she got out of the passenger seat. The doorman offered to take the pack, but he said, no, she wants to carry it, and she was angry again at his assumption. The doorman left them. She turned to him and he passed her the bag so she was facing him, both hands awkwardly carrying the heavy case in front of her. So, goodbye. Good luck. Yes, I'll look after them all. They'll be safe. She nodded. She was in shadow, and he, as if unaware of the harsh sunlight, stood in it. And then he came up to her, closer, and she thought for a moment he was going to embrace her. Instead, he put his right arm forward and drew it in a gesture across her bare neck, so her skin was touched by the whole length of his damp forearm. Goodbye. He walked back to the truck. She could feel his sweat now, like blood left by a blade which the gesture of his arm seemed to have imitated. She picks up a cushion and places it onto her lap as a shield against him. If you make love to me, I won't lie about it. If I make love to you, I won't lie about it. She moves the cushion against her heart, as if she would suffocate the part of herself which was broken free. What do you hate most? He asks. A lie. And you? Ownership, he says. When you leave me, forget me. Her fist swings towards him and hits hard into the bone just below his eye. She dresses and leaves. Each day he would return home and look at the black bruise in the mirror. He became curious, not so much about the bruise, but about the shape of his face. The long eyebrows he had never really noticed before, the beginning of grey in his sandy hair. He had not looked at himself like this in a mirror for years. That was a long eyebrow. Nothing can keep him from her. When he is not in the desert with Maddox or with Berman in the Arab libraries, he meets her in Groppy Park, beside the heavily watered plum gardens. She is happiest there. She is a woman who misses moisture, who has always loved low green hedges and ferns. From Groppy Park they arc out into the old city, South Cairo, markets where few Europeans go. In his rooms maps cover the walls, and in spite of his attempts at furnishing there is still a sense of base camp to his quarters. They lie in each other's arms, the pulse and shadow of the fan on them, and here too the intimate exchange and echo of childhood history, of scar, of manner of kiss. I don't know what to do, she says. How can I be your lover? He will go mad. A list of wounds. The various colours of the bruised bright russet leading to brown. The plate she walked across the room with, flinging its contents aside and broke across his head, the blood rising up into the straw hair. The fork that entered the back of his shoulder, leaving its bite marks the doctor suspected were caused by a fox. He would step into an embrace with her, glancing first to see what movable objects were around. He would meet her with others in public, with bruises or a bandaged head, and explain about the taxi, jerking to a halt so that he had hit the open side window, or with iodine on his forearm that covered a welt. Maddox worried about his becoming suddenly accident-prone. She sneered quietly at the weakness of his explanation. Maybe it's his age, maybe he needs glasses, said her husband, nudging Maddox. Maybe it's a woman he met, she said. Look, isn't that a woman's scratch or bite? It was a scorpion, he said.